The golden age of radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the golden age of radio, Harold Perry stars in The Great Gildersleeve. Sydney comes to dinner on an episode of Mama Bloom's Brood, and a song from the Aladdin Lamp Man, Smilin' Ed O'Connell. Stay tuned for the golden age of radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, an episode of Mama Bloom's Brood and a song from Smilin' Ed O'Connell, the Aladdin Lamp Man. Right now, Gildy arrives at Summerfield on this episode of The Great Gildersleeve starring Harold Perry as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve. Each week at this time, the Kraft Cheese Company presents for your enjoyment Harold Perry as the Great Gildersleeve, written by Leonard L. Levinson. We'll hear from the Great Gildersleeve in just a moment. But right now, here's a message of very great importance for today's menu makers. I don't know how much you housewives actually know about modern margarine, but there's probably been no time in the history of America when it was so important for you to have the true facts about nourishing, wholesome foods for your family. So I want to tell you about Parquet. Parquet is the new quality margarine made by Kraft, a delicious spread for bread, hot rolls, and toast. Now, of course, the fact that Parquet does taste so good probably accounts for its popularity as a spread in millions of homes. But this is even more important. Parquet margarine is a protective food with exceptionally high nutritional value. It is one of the best energy foods you can serve, and a reliable year-round source of vitamin A. There are 9,000 units of this vitamin in every pound of Parquet. So tomorrow, ask your food dealer for a pound of Parquet margarine made by Kraft. The whole family will like it because it tastes so good, and you'll know that you're giving them an economical, highly nutritious food made to the Kraft standards of quality. Just say Parquet, P-A-R-K-A-Y. And now for the adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.
Wistful Vista, coming into Wistful Vista.
Wistful Vista, where Fibber McGee and Molly live?
Yes, madam.
Oh, my. Do you think I'll be able to see them from the train window?
No, lady. The McGees are on their vacation.
Oh.
But say, there's a next-door neighbor of theirs, Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve.
Where? Where?
That portly gent with the mustache on the platform, the one making a speech to his employees.
How do you know they're his employees?
Because every time he goes away, he gives them an hour off to come down to the station and wave goodbye.
Oh, so that's Mr. Gildersleeve. Well, I'm...
I can't tell you how touched I am to see all the employees of the Gildersleeve Girdle Works down here at the station to bid me goodbye. It's indeed... by the way, is there anyone left at the plant?
No.
What if some orders come in? Who'll take the phone calls?
Mert.
Oh, Mert, eh? Yeah. As I was saying while I'm away, I expect every one of you to uphold Gildersleeve Girdles to the best of your ability. And don't forget our motto. If you want the best of corsets... Of course, it's Gildersleeve.
Very good, T.P., very good.
Thank you, thank you. You'll get a raise. And though it's necessary for me to go away and attend to other enterprises, The one thing closest to my heart is the Gildersleeve girdle.
How long will you be gone, T.P.?
At least 3 days, and maybe till the end of the week.
Before you go, T.P., the Gildersleeve Girdle Workers Guild wishes to present you with this handsome leather briefcase as a token of our esteem for you.
Yes, sir. Yes.
For me? I don't know what to say
all
except...
aboard.
Yes, all aboard? Oh, no. Oh, my goodness. Out of my way, everybody. Where are my bags?
On the train, T.P.
Thanks. I forgot to buy a ticket. Where do I buy a ticket?
On the train, T.P.
Oh, yes. Let go of me, boys. Where are you pushing me?
On the train, T.P.
Yes. Goodbye, children. Goodbye, children.
Here's your ticket, Mr. Gildersleeve. Sorry I haven't any berths left.
Couldn't you squeeze me in somewhere?
I'll try, though it'll probably be a tight squeeze.
tight squeeze. Side-splitting, isn't it?
Going to be in Summerfield long?
Oh, no, just 3 or 4 days. I'm taking over the administration of my brother-in-law's estate. They're going to run it for my niece and nephew. But that's quite involved, and I'm hungry. Which way is the diner?
Why, an old experienced traveler like you should know where the diner is.
Huh? Oh, of course. No matter where you are, the diner's always at the other end of the train. See you later. Excuse me, madam. Yes, pretty crowded in this diner. By George, I'm so hungry I could eat the waiter.
Yes, sir?
Is it all right if I sit at this table?
Yes, sir. Sit right down, sir.
If this gentleman doesn't mind reading his paper on his own side. I said if this gentleman doesn't mind reading his paper on his own side.
Excuse me, sir. Does you mind?
Yes, I do. I'm particular whom I eat with.
You are, eh? Well, I'm not. I'm hungry. Waiter, bring me a steak. A nice, juicy, double tenderloin rare.
Waiter, where's my milk toast? I ordered it 15 minutes ago.
I'm sorry, but milk toast takes time, you know.
And waiter, I want a big, heaping plate of French fries.
Yeah, French fries.
And a cup of strong coffee with lots of cream.
Yeah, I'll get it right away, sir.
And bring me my milk toast made with gluten bread, remember?
Yes. Bread. Oh, that reminds me. Some hot biscuits and a little pot of jam.
Gluten bread toasted and a cup of hot water.
And then apple pie a la mode with cheese.
Yeah, with cheese. Yeah.
I can't stand this. Listening to you is giving me heartburn.
It is, huh? Waiter, don't forget the steak sauce, ketchup, piccalilli, and relish.
Bring me a glass of bicarbonate of soda quick.
Yes, right away, sir. I'll be back.
Of course, it's none of my business, mister.
And don't stick your nose in it.
Yes. Well, all right. That's the way you feel about it. I was just going to tell you you're getting your newspaper in the mustard.
I don't use mustard.
No, I guess you don't need any. But what I was going to say was...
Never mind.
Okay, I won't say it then. But that mustard from your newspaper is all over your sleeve now.
I don't care. What? Oh, of all the messes I...
Water only spreads it. You see what I tell you?
I'll thank you to mind your own business.
What's the big idea jumping down my throat?
What do you expect addressing a perfect stranger?
You're far from perfect, stranger. And from now on, I'm going to make a career out of ignoring you. Here comes my food. That's pretty snappy service, waiter.
Yes, sir.
Well, where's my milk toast?
Yeah, I'm sorry, sir, but the chef, he's all out of glutton bread. He wants to know, would pumpernickel do just as well?
No, pumpernickel wouldn't do just as well. And why keep me waiting all the time while you serve this big buffalo the minute he sits down?
Oh, no, look here, mister.
I don't want to look here. I'm sick of the sight of you. The idea. An overstuffed ox like you, guttling and gobbling and gorging yourself like an ostrich. I've got a bad case of indigestion already just from looking at you.
Why, you dyspeptic little dodo. Just because you're mean to your stomach and your stomach talks back to you, you bellyache. Excuse the expression. You're not suffering from indigestion. You're just green with Epicurean envy.
I won't sit here.
Here's your bicarbonate of soda, mister.
Take it away. I need something stronger than that now. I've got some pills down here in my briefcase.
Just a minute there. What are you doing with my briefcase?
Your briefcase? This is mine.
It is not. My employees gave it to me just this afternoon.
Take your fat paws off of my briefcase before I...
Before you watch, you dried up little crabapple.
Now, wait a minute, gentlemen, please.
Let go of my briefcase.
I will not. It's mine.
Why, the idea is...
Waiter. Waiter, did you see anything of my briefcase? I left it... Oh, you gentlemen have it. Thank you so much.
Well, for that...
There you are, Mr. Gildersleeve. I've located a berth for you at last.
Oh, that's fine, conductor. I was getting tired of sitting around here in my pajamas. Where is it?
It's upper nine in the next car.
Upper nine? Oh, my goodness. The last time I was in an upper berth was, 50 pounds ago.
The porter's making it up for you now.
Thanks. I do hope that porter gives me a wide berth. It's a dark in here. Oh, porter! Porter!
Quiet!
Yes. Oh, excuse me. Must be sleeping. Oh, porter!
Yeah, sir.
Have you got upper nine ready yet?
Yes, but I didn't anticipate no gentlemen's of such ample proportions.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'd better take a ladder.
Yes, better take two. They're small.
Well, all right. Come on.
Yeah, here we are, right up there, sir.
Up there?
Mm.
Oh, my goodness. Hold these ladders steady, porter. Remember, if they tip, I won't.
Yeah, sir. Now, be careful, mister. Train's coming to a sharp curve pretty soon.
When?
Then.
Oh!
Hold on, mister. The ladder's sliding.
I can't hold on. I'm coming down. Look out below. Move!
No! What hit me?
Oh, my sacroiliac.
Yeah, mister, let me help you up.
I don't want to get up. I want to sleep.
Not you, mister. The man in the upper. He's now in the lower.
Then where am I?
You're right here, brother.
Get off of my poor stomach. Who is it? Oh, it's you. What are you doing sneaking into my berth?
I'm not sneaking into your... I'm not sneaking. I'm trying to climb into bed. I'm your upstairs neighbor.
Isn't that nice? I hope that swinging shelf snaps shut on you.
Oh, yeah? If it's going to swing, I'll see that it swings your way. And if I land on you again, brother, you'll spend the rest of the night sleeping in the roadbed.
Oh, quiet. Let me go to sleep.
Okay, Grandpop. Unpleasant dreams. All right, porter. Give me a leg up again, will you? $32,473. $32,474. $32,475. Oh, my goodness. 2 o'clock already and still not a wink. Yes, $32,476. $32,478. Oh, what's the use? There was only some way of stopping that buzzsaw down there. I can't stand this any longer. Where's that porter? I'll fix this guy.
You call me, sir?
Yes. Would you mind getting me a drink of ice water? I can't sleep.
Yeah, sir.
Yeah.
Here's the water, mister.
Thank you. You needn't wait. Good night, good night, good night.
Good night, sir.
Yes. Now, if I can hold this cup in this hand and open the lower curtain with it... Ah, I've got it. Yeah. Steady now, Gildersleeve. Ready. Aim.
Oh, no. What was that? Porter! Porter!
Yeah, what is it?
sir.
Shut this window, will you? It's raining right in on my face.
Quiet! Can a man get any rest around here?
Good morning, sir. He's just pulling into Summerfield. You want me to brush you off?
No, I'll walk down the steps like the rest of the passengers. By the way, Porter, you've given me such good service. Here's an order for a Gildersleeve girdle for your wife.
Thank you, sir. I happen to be a spinster at the moment. But if it's all right with you, I'll put in my hope chest.
Yes. Yes, that's perfectly all right. Summerfield, eh? By George, I'm certainly looking forward to seeing Marjorie and little Leroy again.
Marjorie, huh? Why can't I call them TP like they do down at this foundry?
It isn't a foundry, Leroy. It's a... Oh, never mind. It's nothing that concerns little boys. And I'm sure that he will prefer to have you call him Uncle Throckmorton.
Oh, shucks, you can't go around calling a big, tough guy who runs a steel foundry Throckmorton. It's positively degradatory.
It's derogatory.
Yeah, it's that, too.
Leroy... Who told you Uncle Throckmorton was in the steel business?
Nah, you thought you were so smart. I saw one of his letterheads. The Gildersleeve Girder Company.
Hmm? Oh, yes. Gildersleeve Girder Company.
Gee, he should be here by now, shouldn't he, Marjorie?
Now, don't you worry, Leroy. Just as soon as his train arrives, Mr. Wills will bring him here for breakfast.
Oh, I wanted to go down to the station, too.
I know, but Ted has to discuss all the legal details with Uncle Throckmorton before we go to court.
Say, you're getting pretty darn stuck on that Ted guy, aren't you?
Why, Leroy Forrester, I am not. Ted Wills is merely our lawyer.
He is not. Williams and Williams, Willies and Wills are our lawyers, and Ted's nothing but the tail end.
Well, he's young yet. You just give him time.
Oh, there you go. Oh, say, how's if I should call him Uncle Morton?
Call who? Oh, Uncle Throckmorton. Well, I don't think he'd object to that.
Wait, I can do better than that. How's this? Uncle Mort.
Who's that?
Uncle Mort. I'll answer it.
Well, I'll bet this is little Leroy.
Hi, Uncle Mort.
Hi, who?
You, Uncle Mort. You don't mind if I call you Uncle Mort, do you, Uncle Mort?
No, not at all. Go right ahead. Uncle Mort, eh? I like that.
And this is Marjorie, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Marjorie, eh? Come here, my dear. My, how you've grown.
Hello, Uncle Throckmorton. Let me take your hat and coat. Will you have some breakfast?
No, thanks. I've already had mine on the... Well, I'll have a cup of coffee.
Sit right here, Uncle. Ted, you sit over there.
Oh, thanks.
My, this looks wonderful.
Hey, Unc, will you take me back to Wistful Vista with you and let me work in your factory?
What? Well, I didn't think you'd be interested in that sort of thing.
Now, Leroy...
Gee, I am, Uncle Mort. That must be some layout. I bet you make the supports for a lot of big projects there.
We don't turn out anything much like... We sort of confine ourselves to foundations.
Say, I'd like to go along sometime when you install some of those foundations.
I don't have... What did you say, young man?
Oh, please excuse Leroy, Uncle Mort. He's been like that ever since he found out that you owned the Gildersleeve Girder Company.
What? Gildersleeve Girder? Yes, I see it all now. Yes, a bright boy.
Gee, Unc, do you ever have the slug it out with any of them tough steel workers of yours?
No, I never do.
You don't, huh?
Well, of course, there have been times when I've had to put more snap into their work. Yes. Once I was so angry, I picked up a badly made foundation and bounced it right off the foreman's head.
You did?
Yeah. Oh.
Now, Leroy, let your uncle eat his breakfast.
Yeah.
Have some toast, Uncle Mort?
No, thanks.
Well, it's time we leave for court, Mr. Gildersleeve.
It is? Come on, kids. This won't take long. Well, all I can say is we run things better than this in Wispel Vista. 11 o'clock and the judge hasn't even shown up yet.
Judge Hooker's usually very prompt.
Yes, the trouble with some of these judges is they think they're little tin gods. Take those black robes away from them, and what have they got? Bow legs.
Gee, that's a hot one, Uncle Mort.
Yeah, I'm glad you like it.
Everyone rise, please.
Ah, at last.
Superior Court, Department 25, the Honorable Hitler H. Hooker Judge presiding is now in session. Be seated.
Sit down, Uncle Mort.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness. Who's that man sitting in the judge's chair?
Why, that's Judge Hooker.
Judge Hooker? That's the man in the lower berth.
This is Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve for appointment as administrator of the state of Ray Forrester.
Oh, that's us. Come on, Mr. Gildersleeve.
I'm not feeling very well, Ted. Couldn't we postpone this over to another judge?
Oh, come on, Uncle Mort. Remember what you said. This guy will be a pushover.
Yes, a pushover.
Now, come on. Step up. Don't dawdle. I haven't got all day.
Make a snappy, folks. The judge is pretty short-tempered this morning. He didn't get any sleep last night.
Oh, my.
Your Honor, with your permission, I'll put Mr. Gildersleeve on the stand first.
Go ahead, Mr. Wills. Swear in the witness belt.
You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth to help you?
I do.
Well, do you or don't you speak up?
I do.
That voice is very familiar. Turn around, Mr. Oh, so it's you.
Yes. Hello, Judge.
Mr. Wills?
Yes, Your Honor.
I will examine this man's qualifications if you don't mind.
I don't, Your Honor.
But I do.
Silence. Now then, Gildersleeve, what do you do for a living?
I make girdles, Your Honor.
Order in this court. Order in the court. Order in the court. Order.
Order.
And you, Gildersleeve, any more cheap humor and I'll judge you in contempt.
But it's true, Your Honor. I'm the president of the Gildersleeve Girdle Company.
Uncle Mort, tell him the truth. He doesn't make girdles, Judge.
Yes. And what does he do?
Steel foundations.
I bet he would, too. Now, no more interruptions, my boy. Remember, this is a courtroom. You realize who I am, of course.
Sure, you're a bow-legged little tin god.
Yes.
What?
Now, Leroy!
But you just said so yourself, Uncle Mort.
Oh, you did.
Just a little joke, Your Honor. You know how I kid.
I know. Well, I'm going to ask you a plain question, and I want a plain answer. What business are you in?
Well, I... Leroy, would you mind going out into the hall and get me some ice water?
One moment. Who's running this court, you or I?
Better not get Uncle Mort mad, Judge. Last night he threw a whole bucket of water on a guy in the berth under him.
Oh, my, here we go again.
He did, did he?
Yeah. Woke up and thought it was raining.
Oh.
You ought to hear Uncle Mort tell it.
Thanks, I will. Let's hear all about it, Uncle Mort.
But, Judge Hooker, it's after 5 o'clock. This poor man's been on the witness stand all day.
All right. One more question, then I'll hand down my decision. Mr. Gildersleeve, what makes you think that you have executive ability?
Well, I have a large staff of my own, and through years of experience, I know the proper relationship between employer and employee.
Your Honor.
Yes, Mr. Wells?
Our firm has thoroughly investigated Mr. Gildersleeve, and we're satisfied as to his qualifications.
Mr. Wells, I have great respect for you and your associates. That is probably the only reason why I'm going to grant your petition.
Hooray!
However, in order to protect these children from their own misguided enthusiasm, I'm going to require this Gildersleeve to report to me every single week.
But, Your Honor...
He must get an okay for every cent that he spends.
But, Judge...
And I will require him to post a bond of $50,000 in cash.
Now, see here, Hooker. I won't stand for this. I'll resign.
Quiet. Jeez. Gildersleeve, I never sent for you. You came here begging for this job. To quote from Brawby versus Union Buggy Corporation, Civil Code of Nebraska, you made your bed and you can't lie out of it.
But my business in Wispel Vista.
You remain here and make this estate pay or go to jail for contempt.
Now, wait a minute. I'm not going to...
Court is adjourned.
I'll kill that old goat. Ted, we've got to do something about this. Do you realize that a $50,000 bond would not only take every cent of my ready cash, but also means a mortgage on my Gordle Works?
Gee, I'm sorry about how the whole thing went, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, maybe if we went into the judge's chambers, we could persuade him to lower the bond, Uncle Mort.
Sure, just let me talk to him.
Young man, you've talked enough for one day.
Well, how about it, Ted?
Well, it won't hurt to try. Come on.
Yeah.
Come in.
Excuse us, Judge Hooker. You remember me, don't you? I thought perhaps maybe we could possibly get that little cash bond reduced.
I don't see why I should have...
If you spoke to somebody who'd known me for a long time, they might convince you that I'm not such a bad fellow.
Oh, that would be fine, Uncle Mort. Yeah. Who could the judge talk to?
Why, the president of the Wispel Vista Chamber of Commerce. He's my next-door neighbor, too. A chap named Fibber McGee. We can call him long distance, Your Honor.
Yes, yes, I see, Mr. McGee. Yes, I'm glad you put me straight on that.
Yes, I knew my little chum would set me in right.
That's a very good point.
Leroy, I want you to meet McGee one of these days. There's one of nature's noblemen.
I guess you've made up my mind for me, Fibber.
Yeah, Fibber.
Hold the phone a second, I'll tell him. Gildersleeve.
Yes, Judge?
Gildersleeve, I've decided to rescind that $50,000 bond.
I knew that would happen if you spoke to my little pal.
Yes, after talking to McGee, I'm going to make that bond $100,000.
What? Give me that telephone. Hello? You're a hard man, McGee.
The Great Gildersleeve will be with us again in a few minutes. While Uncle Troc recovers from that one, I want to say a word that I believe will make every thinking housewife want to try parquet margarine tomorrow. This delicious new Kraft product is most popular as a spread for bread and a seasoning for hot cooked foods because of its delicate, pleasing flavor. But the same qualities that make it so good for table use make it an extra fine shortening for baking. I say extra fine because it has all the qualities of an ordinary shortening, plus fine flavor and added nourishment. Let me read you a statement from Mrs. Lillian Watts, who, having been born and raised on a farm, is mighty particular about food. She says, quote, "I have a family of eight, and they all like parquet margarine. I use it in various ways, cakes, bread, muffins, biscuits, soup, spreads, and other ways too numerous to mention. Thank you 1,000 times for this wonderful product," end of quote. Now, that's a mighty enthusiastic statement. But you'll be just as enthusiastic once you have tried parquet. It's so delicious, so nourishing, so grand in every way. Tomorrow, be sure to order parquet, the economical spread made by Kraft. And remember, every pound of parquet margarine contains 9,000 units of vitamin A.
Thank you.
Mort, what are you going to do now?
By George, Leroy, I'm going to show that judge I can run that estate, or my name won't be Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve.
You bet it won't, Uncle Mort. You won't even have a name.
Yeah, no. I'll just have a number. Good night, folks.
Original music on tonight's program was composed and conducted by William Randolph. This is Jim Bannon saying goodnight for Kraft and reminding you to tune in again next week at the same time to hear the further adventures of the great Gildersleeve. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
You're listening to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY and an episode of The Great Gildersleeve starring Harold Perry. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s. When the Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. In a moment, a song from Smilin' Ed O'Connell, the Aladdin Lamp Man. Right now, Sydney comes to dinner on this episode of Mama Bloom's Brood as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Well, 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 here's Mama Bloom's Brood. Kitchen of the Bloom home, we find Mama preparing an extra special dinner. Why? Well, because Sarah's boyfriend, Sidney Shiftbane, has been invited to break bread. The girls haven't arrived yet, but Papa is watching Mama avidly.
Jake, what time is it?
What time? It's time to eat.
Can't you wait a few minutes?
Sure, I can wait. I've got to.
What have we got, anyway?
First, we got soup, then chicken with noodles with potatoes, two vegetables, spinach with sweet peas.
Sweet peas? You mean green peas?
They're sweet. I tasted them myself. And then we got something fancy. Architects with melted butter.
Not architects. Artichokes. Architects build a house.
I thought carpenters build a house.
No, Mama. First, an architect makes a picture of a house. You remember when we built the factory? First comes an architect with a piece of paper.
Yeah, I remember. Blue paper with white lines on it. He called it a blueprint.
No, you mean a blueprint.
I'm ashamed of you, Jake. Blueprint is a oyster.
Oyster. Never mention that name in this house, Mama.
I wouldn't do it. And then chocolate cake, we got it, and coffee with finger bowls.
Finger bowls. Finger bowls, we gotta have it for that boy. It's too much trouble. If he wants to wash his hands, let him go to the bathroom like I do.
He'll have finger bowls. And you'll do me a favor, Jake.
Yeah? What kind of a favor?
You'll please to wear your coat to the table.
But, Mama, my coat is too tight to eat in.
Also, Jake, remember, Sarah's very particular that you should do this. All the time that Sydney's here, Sarah, you call Sally.
Sally. And I suppose I have to call Yetta Yvette. It's such a long name. If she wants a short name, what's the matter with Ida?
Yetta, you can call Yetta. But so long as Sydney's here, Sarah is Sally.
Sally. Mama, Does Sarah like Sydney?
What do you think she invited him to dinner for, to use our plates? Of course she likes him.
And does he like our Sarah?
How should I know?
Well, when I get here, I'll ask him.
Jake, you keep your thumbs out of her business.
Yeah. Mama, what does he do, this Sydney?
Works for his cousin, Moshe Fain, in the racket business.
Moshe Fain. Moshe Fain is a no good. He's a bum.
Can
he's
I help it?
Mama, what business is this racket business?
I don't know, Jake. So many new business come up nowadays.
Racket business, the racket. You know, it seems to me I've heard of it.
Sure, you've heard of it. Yetta says it's in all the papers.
Well, if he's a cousin of Moshe Fain's, he's no good.
How can you say that? 50 cousins maybe Moshe Fain's got, can all of them be no good?
Any cousin of Moshe Fain's is a lowlife. Blood is thicker than milk.
A couple cousins of yours is no good. Does it hurt you?
Does it hurt you?
Your Uncle Ike is no good.
Your sister Reba is a lady, I suppose.
Your cousin Minnie's been married 7 times. Once in Jersey City.
Well, is it any worse in Jersey City?
Is it any better?
Say, is your brother a geranium? 5 times he failed and has he got a cent yet?
My brother's all right. Hard luck anybody can have.
Your brother's got more creditors than he's got hair on his head.
Ah, you're jealous.
Jealous? Me? Jealous of your brother? That muzzler.
Do me one favor. Don't call names. What good will it do? Let my brother alone.
All right. You let my cousin Ike alone, I'll let your brother alone.
All right, did I start it?
Whoever started it, you stop.
All right, I'll stop.
Stop then.
I did stop. Still, your Uncle Ike is no good.
You're starting again. All day long, I work hard. I come home for a quiet dinner, and all I hear is my Uncle Ike is no good. What do you want from my life? All right, settled. Have it your way. My Uncle Ike is no good.
As long as you admit it, the matter's settled.
What time is he coming this evening?
I don't know.
Well, as long as Sarah was inviting him to dinner, why didn't she stay home and help you fix it?
Maybe she forgot.
Yeah, maybe she remembered.
Anyhow, I'd rather not have her. When I'm cooking, the girls drive me crazy. They want to measure everything, like in our school.
Well, maybe it's our new style to measure everything.
Yeah, I know. I was at Mrs. Klein's for lunch last week. Everything she measures carefully. But she gets through it all tastes like hay.
Well, maybe that's scientific cooking.
Which would you rather have, scientific cooking or something to eat?
Can't Sarah cook at all?
She can make fried eggs if she don't drop them too hot.
And if she drops them too hot?
Then she can make scrambled hay.
Still, if she's having a fella here to dinner, she could come home and do something.
Maybe she could.
Well, why don't she then?
You ask her. She's half your daughter.
My side of the family was never lazy people.
Your Uncle Ike
Now you're starting again.
Me starting?
Never mind. Let's talk about Sydney.
What good will it do? If she wants to marry him, she'll marry him.
Is that so? My daughter will listen to me.
Did I listen to my mother? She told me not to marry you.
Your mother's a fool.
Who's talking about relatives now?
What did I say?
He asks me what he said.
Sure, I'm asking you.
You said my mother was a fool.
All right, so I apologize.
I suppose my father was a fool.
Oh, no, no. Your father, he was a smart fella.
Well, he didn't like you either.
I didn't like him.
You just said he was a smart fella.
Sure, he was a smart fella, but I didn't have to like him.
My father was a very smart man.
Oh, yeah, he was, yeah. He couldn't make a living, but he was a smart fella, yeah.
In a minute, I'll start with your Uncle Ike.
In a minute, I'll go crazy.
I can go crazy, too. It ain't a patent.
Meanwhile, I'm having no supper.
In a minute. Hold your horseshoes.
I am holding my horseshoes. But can I eat horseshoes?
A few minutes, and everybody'll be here, and we'll all sit down. You'll wear a coat.
All right. If you'll give me something to eat, I'll even wear my overcoat. Every night, we eat at 6 o'clock. Tonight, when I'm especially hungry, it's got to be 7.
7 is very stylish.
For Moshe Finn's cousin, we've got to be stylish.
For Sarah's fella, we have to be stylish.
Was that the door open?
Yeah.
Maybe that's him.
He would ring the bell. That must be the girls. When he gets here, don't talk to him about his cousin.
I won't talk, Mama. I'll eat.
Hello, Bob. Hello, Ma.
Hello. Isn't Sydney here yet?
Where you been till now?
Why don't you stay home and help your mother?
She won't let us.
How do you know? Did you try?
I don't need him, Jake.
Well, maybe you could set the table.
All right, I'll set the table.
It's set already.
I better take a look and see if it's all right.
Don't worry, it's all right.
Sure, it's all right. Four of us and one extra.
One extra Schiff Bain's cousin.
It was all wrong. The forks are on the wrong side and no bread plates.
No bread plates? Maybe they'll be arrested.
And there are no salad forks. What do you expect him to eat a salad with?
He could eat it with his mouth.
We've got salad forks, haven't we?
We got little forks.
They're salad forks. Where are they? I'll get them.
What do you want to butter for, Sarah? They're all wrapped up on the top shelf.
Paul, will you stand on a chair and get them?
Before I would stand on a chair for Moshe Bain's cousin, he could eat his salad with a straw.
Well, I guess I'll have to do it myself.
What kind of a wife will you make, Sarah? Sarah. Cooking you can't, sewing you can't. All you can do is get salad forks.
Oh, I'll get by.
Say, did you tell him you can't cook?
She'll learn, Jack. She'll learn.
You can't learn cooking in 10 minutes. When I married your mother, believe me, she was a good cook. And look at you. You can't even make coffee.
A man doesn't pick out a wife because she knows how to cook.
Maybe so, Sarah, but I still wish you knew how to cook.
Pop, when Sydney's here, please don't call me Sarah.
Yeah, I know. I'll call you Sally.
And, Pop, please wear your coat for dinner.
My coat again. I never saw so much excitement about one meal.
You'd think we was having the Prince of Wales.
Hurry up, Ma.
Yeah.
Take your apron off.
I'll do it.
Paul, put your coat on.
Yeah.
Ma, smooth your hair.
Yes, coming.
For the love of Mike, Ma, don't say please to me,
Jen. Right,
if you
won't.
Want something, Pa, don't reach. Ask for it.
Yeah, here's your coat, Pa. Come on, now, put it on.
All right. I'll wear my coat, but I'm warning you. After supper is over, I'm going to unbutton my vest. I don't care who's here.
I'll answer it.
You know, this Sydney's from a fine family.
Sure, the Schiff Bains, the blue bloods of Poland, Galicianos.
What difference does it make, Jake? He's a maker of big rackets. Remember that.
Mother, this is Sydney Schiff Bains.
Pleased to meet you.
You see, he said it.
Said what?
And this is my father.
Hello. Mama, can we have dinner?
In a few minutes, Jake. Sit down, Mr. Schiff Bain. Take a load off your shoes.
Oh, thanks.
How's the racket business?
And how are your cousin?
Well, business is okie-dokie.
What's this okie-dokie?
Well, Mama, different businesses have different voids.
I mean, business is all very prevalent. Very prevalent.
It's no use. I guess we're talking about different things.
Sydney, are you making any money?
I get by.
Well, would you say you're making $75 a week? Or maybe 60 or more, maybe?
Pop'll have his little joke. Yeah. Does he care what you're making?
Oh, sure. Father's always kidding around. Sometimes people don't know how to take him, but he does love a joke. Don't you, Father?
How can you joke about money?
They are going to have tonight just a plain meal, Sydney. Mr. Schiff Bain. We're not people for fancy food.
Oh, sure. I like plain food myself.
Usually, I'm cooking the dinner, but today, mine Sally, he insisted that she should cook everything herself as a special honor to you, Mr. Shifting.
Oh, gee, that's swell.
Oh, that's all right.
It's a shame to make you do a lot of work, Sally.
My Sally don't mind it. I never seen a girl who enjoyed cooking like mine Sally. Not that mine Yvette can't cook, too.
Oh, yeah, she's just as good a cook as Sally.
Oh, sometimes, honest, you wouldn't believe me. It's practically a fight in a refined way. between mine two girls to see who should cook dinner.
Yeah, you should taste Sally's fried eggs, or maybe it's scrambled eggs.
So Sally cooked the dinner, huh?
Every stitch of it.
Can you imagine that? Well, what are we having, Sally?
Why, I thought... First you made soup, didn't you, Sally?
Yes.
And Mr. Schiffen, I hate to brag, but soup like mine Sally makes you don't get in our restaurant.
I go for a good plate of soup. What kind of soup is it, Sally?
Oh, tomato.
She calls it tomato. Why, I could never understand. To me, it's chicken soup. And then we got chicken, of course, what we used in the soup. I will say for one thing, Mr. Schiffen, Sally is very economical. And then comes with spinach and sweet peas, and then with melted butter, Sally cooked a... Jake, what was it Sally cooked?
Artichoke.
Yeah, artichoke, yes. And then she made our chocolate cake. It'll melt in your mouth. And not that we begrudge her eggs or anything, but she makes our cake with two eggs that you'd swear before our judge and jury she's got in it at least six eggs. Maybe eight.
Oh, that's a trick.
Trick. She knows millions with and without eggs.
I'll say she's a very clever girl.
Clever's nothing. When a girl can not only cook like mine, Sally, and sew like a tailor, an expensive tailor, and darn and sweep and mend socks, I always say it'll be our very lucky fella that gets it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Mother, Sydney's not interested in what I can do.
You see how modest she is. Most girls, if they could do half what mine girl could do, their mothers would talk to death about her. But I think that if a girl is smart like mine Sally, you don't have to tell everybody. They'll find out for themselves.
How was business today, Father?
Your papa's business is always good, Sarah. When a man is established like your father, with a reputation of high-class merchandise sold at lowest prices, how can it help but be good?
Mother, everything's ready.
Come in, Mr. Schiffen. Come in to supper. Dinner's ready.
Sing a song you don't hear every day. It's your old friend calling again. Hello, sweethearts. It's Smiling Ed McConnell, the Aladdin Lamp Man again. Have you heard this one lately? Yes, it's a good day for singing a song, and it's a good day for moving along. A good day, how could anything go wrong? A good day from morning till night. Yes, it's a good day for shining your shoes. It's a good day for losing your blues. Everything to gain and nothing to lose. A good day from morning till night. I said to the sun, good morning, sun. Rise and shine today. You know you gotta get going if you're gonna make a showing. And you know you got the right of way. Cause it's a good day for paying your bills. And it's a good day for curing your ills. So take a deep breath, honey. Throw away your pills. It's a good day from morning till night. Tell them, fingers, tell them, tell them, tell them, tell them. Paying your bills, it's a good day for curing your ills. So take a deep breath, honey. Throw away your pills. It's a good day from morning till night. Yeah, yeah. Of course it's a good day. It's always a good day when old friends get together. And that's one reason we have so many happy customers in our store. We respect our friends. First of all, we treat everyone who visits our store just as though they were guests in our home. And then there's the wonderful merchandise we have to offer at such reasonable prices. Wonderful buys like famous, smartly styled Aladdin electric lamps with those lovely Whippolite shades. They make our store the best place to come to if you're looking for a more pleasant place to shop while getting the most for your money. Stop in soon and find out what it's like to be a happy customer by making your purchases in our store. And now for our hymn. Oft times the way is weary and rugged seems the road. Oft times I'm weak and weary when bent beneath some load. But when I cry in weakness, how long, O Lord, how long? Then Jesus takes my burden and leaves me with a song. Yes, Jesus took my burden I could no longer bear. Yes, Jesus took my burden in answer to my prayer. My anxious fears subsided. My spirit was made strong. For Jesus took my burden and left me with a song. And I hope I leave you with a song in your heart, sweetheart. This is Smiling Ed McConnell, the Aladdin Lamp Man, saying don't forget to come in and see us and be listening next time, cause we'll be back to sing a song you don't hear every day when we all come calling again.
And now, the winners of the four 1948 Super Deluxe Ford V8 four-door sedans in the third new post-war Old Dutch Cleanser Jingle Contest, which closed March 13th. Well, Nick, are you going to make the awards?
Am I? Mike, I've been looking forward to this all week. Here are the folks who get those brand new 1948 Fords. Eileen Brassfield of Aspinwall, Pennsylvania. Mrs. Helen Hill McWilliams, East Orange, New Jersey. Mrs. Robert L. Perry, Phoenix, Arizona. And Mrs. Helen Jane Stage, Chicago, Illinois. And let me add that I hope these lucky people get as much pleasure driving their Fords as I had in awarding them.
Yes, to all these Ford and other prize winners, congratulations. And remember, we'll have more winners next week, so be sure to listen then.
The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY, featuring Smilin' Ed McConnell, the Aladdin Lamp Man. We also heard an episode of Mama Bloom's Brood. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows, on the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at this same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.